was just shocking that something like this could happen in our beautiful neighborhood.
A day later, the sense of terror is still palpable. A Scarborough street, the focus of a large investigation. What led up to a fatal police-involved shooting just meters from a school? Good evening. In just moments, you'll see exclusive video of the man believed to have been involved.
Mm-hmm. Fatally shot after initial reports of someone carrying a rifle. Tonight, we know it was a BB gun. CTV's Austin Delaney is live in the Port Union neighborhood with more on this. Austin.
And we have some exclusive video of the man who was walking up this street behind me, which is directly in front of the school. I'll show you this. This is the school that was in lockdown. The man was confronted by police about 100 meters this way, north of the scene.
This chilling front door security video of a man wearing a trench coat, holding what appears to be a rifle at his side, casually strolling along the sidewalk on a street that leads straight to the school. The 27-year-old was shot after turning and walking past the school and was confronted by police by the ravine, about 100 meters north of the school. Shortly before the bell rang for the day today, a police cruiser pulled into the driveway of William Davis Junior Public School. There was a big police presence here today. Today was the student's first day back in the classroom after being locked down yesterday.
When the lockdown happened, I was feeling scared, and then the way I was scared, like, I was feeling like a little nauseous.
The school was locked down after police shot dead a 27-year-old man carrying a rifle on the street, a rifle the SIU now says was a pellet gun. Today, 10-year-old George Sakarafis says a counselor came to his grade 2 classroom and the students could ask questions.
Him explaining what the police did. And then the police made sure the school's safe and everybody was safe.
As word spread yesterday of the man with a rifle near the school, parents rushed to collect their children.
Good to know that she was inside, safe.
Yeah, it was terrifying. And then it didn't sink in until the evening. That's when it became really upsetting. But they're all okay. And the kids seem okay. My son's very young, so he wasn't too traumatized. I don't think he really knew what was going on.
But last night, there were some difficult conversations between parents and their very young children.
Well, he just had a lot of questions about, you know, is this man like the man in Texas? Are we safe? And I said, you're absolutely safe.
Told him that there's a bad man out there, really.
Fortunately, she didn't hear anything or see anything, so, you know, didn't actually have to witness anything.
A bit further away from the school.
I could hear the sirens, and then I heard the gunshots, and I thought, okay, it's not good.
Claire Wings, two young kids, were at one of five nearby schools in lockdown, but complains the TDSB kept those parents in the dark until 6:30 in the evening.
And I was seeing active gunmen at the grocery store walking through the fields at the school, and you're thinking, what's happening?
The TDSB says these situations are busy. Parents should check social media.
And we spoke to a lot of parents today whose children are at this school. They say they felt great about how the TDSB handled it, how the principal handled it, how the teachers handled it. They felt like their children were safe. Reporting live, I'm Austin Delaney.
Thank you, Austin. Elsewhere, police have arrested a suspect after an alleged hate-motivated incident targeting a Jewish school in North York. Yeshiva Gedola is a boys' school for the Orthodox community near Bathurst and Lawrence. On Wednesday, it was reported a man was confronted by students for being on school property. He allegedly later returned and made anti-Semitic comments and threatened and assaulted a staff member. 21-year-old Kyle McLeod of Toronto faces several charges, including uttering threats and assault with a weapon.
Durham police spent the day on a high school campus in Bowmanville after it was mentioned in an online threat. Investigators confirmed this morning they were looking into a threat posted towards Clarington Central Secondary High School. Police were stationed at the school and have since identified a young suspect who does not live in Durham region. Charges are pending. Classes went ahead today, but students say it was not business as usual.
When I got into the school, it was like, you could feel it was tense, but everyone just wanted to keep it calm and collected.
A lot of the teachers were like very careful, and they had meetings, and they're very, very careful about who they were letting into school.
The Kawartha Pine Ridge School Board released a statement reading in part, "We are very grateful for our partnership and the support we've received from Durham Regional Police in responding to this situation. We would also like to say how grateful and proud we are of our whole school community, students, staff, and families, for the way they cared for each other through this difficult day.
Meanwhile, in Uvalde, Texas, a shocking admission about the police response to Tuesday's mass shooting at an elementary school. Authorities say it was clearly the wrong decision to not try and storm a classroom and stop the gunman.
The on-scene commander considered it a barricaded subject and that there was time and there were no more children at risk. Obviously, you know, based upon the information we have, there were children in that classroom that were at risk, and it was, in fact, still an active shooter situation and not a barricaded subject.
Children and teachers placed half a dozen 911 calls while nearly 20 officers were in a hallway for more than 45 minutes waiting for equipment. Several officers exchanged gunfire with the attacker earlier, shortly after he entered the school through an unlocked door. When a Border Patrol tactical team arrived, it used keys from a janitor to open the locked classroom door. The gunman was then fatally shot. His motive remains unclear. 19 students and two teachers were killed. The governor says a fund is being established to help victims of the shooting.
Straight ahead, why families of the victims of the Quebec City mosque shooter say they fear the orphan children could one day meet their father's killer. The decision from Canada's highest court sparking a fury of reaction. But first, here's a look outside as we head into the weekend. Will things stay dry across the GTA? That's the question. Michelle Jobin's here with a look at the current conditions. Michelle.
Well, Nathan, for the weekend, yes, but we're not quite there yet. And looking at that video or that live look downtown, we can see some higher cloud tops. And on radar and satellite imagery, definitely a line of non-severe thunderstorms that have developed at this point. We're seeing that activity, London, Woodstock, extending into the GTA. So, yes, showers and thunderstorm expected in the next little while. Winds out of the south at 17 kilometers an hour. We are looking at temperatures in and around the 20-degree mark right now. We're at 20 at the islands, 23 at Pearson, feeling like 28 with the Humidex, 14 overnight with the risk of showers and storms. Back to you, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle. Just ahead, the final push, the last weekend of the Ontario election campaign. What will be the focus for the main parties as Ontarians make up their minds?
A warning about some of the details in this next story. Closing arguments at the trial of Jacob Hogarth.
The Headley front man facing allegations of sexual assault. CTV's John Musselman is live with more. John.
Well, Michelle, we've heard weeks of evidence at this trial today. It was the defense trying to tell the jury that he should be acquitted. Meanwhile, the Crown was arguing that the evidence shows that the accused in this case sexually assaulted these two complainants. Jacob Hogarth walked out of the University Avenue courthouse today as his trial entered its final phase. Defense lawyer Megan Savard told the jury that the two complainants invented their stories of sexual assault as a way of punishing the Canadian rock star because he used them for consensual sex. She called the allegations false and not supported by the evidence. Quote, Mr. Hogarth admitted to cavalier and shameful conduct. He was attracted to the cheap pleasure of a one-night stand. He admits he was emotionally careless, but we don't convict people for behaving badly. The complainants had a regretted sexual encounter. To cope with their unhappiness, they twisted the facts and they invented a story. Savard told the jury her client is presumed innocent. It is up to the Crown to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. The Crown painted a much different picture when it addressed the jury, suggesting Hogarth was a celebrity who was used to getting what he wanted. Crown Counsel Jill Witkin told the court that Hogarth manipulated both complainants and violently sexually assaulted them in separate hotel rooms in 2016. She called the defense suggestion that the women invented these stories as absurd. Quote, Hogarth is a violent sexual opportunist who just didn't feel like he needed to take no for an answer. What happened in those hotel rooms is not what the complainants wanted or expected. He has a history of lying to get out of difficult situations.
Prosecution will carefully lay out the evidence supporting their argument that in both instances of these young women, there was absolutely no consent at play. They will have to go through the evidence of both complainants, but lay out their theory and the evidence that supports why these young ladies are not telling the truth.
Hogarth has pleaded not guilty to two counts of sexual assault causing bodily harm and one count of sexual interference.
And here's the schedule. The judge will instruct the jury on Tuesday. They will begin deliberations as soon as that concludes. Reporting live outside 361, I'm John Musselman. Back to you.
Thank you, John. The province's Special Investigations Unit has charged a Toronto police officer with assault. This is in connection with an alleged incident downtown in February. The SIU says two officers had some kind of interaction with a suspect with outstanding warrants who was then arrested. Constable Louis Sirkwa, who's been with Toronto Police for 12 years, will face an assault charge in court next month. He has been suspended with pay.
A prominent leader in Canada's Ahmadiyya Muslim community was laid to rest today. Hundreds gathered outside the Baitul Islam Mosque in Vaughan to honor Imam Nasim Mahdi. Mahdi arrived in Canada in 1985 and oversaw the growth of his community, as well as the building of the mosque in Vaughan and other areas across Canada. Several elected officials were present at today's funeral as Mahdi's daughters reflected on his legacy of service.
If anyone had any problem, they knew that he was just a phone call away, no matter what time, no matter what the problem was. And that's what we've been hearing over the past few days since he's passed, of how much he touched people, old or young, little children who grew up watching him, elders who looked up to him even though he was younger than them.
Mahdi's also being remembered as a champion of interfaith harmony and his message of love for all, hatred for none.
It's a historic decision that will affect sentences for the most serious crimes across the country.
A ruling today by Canada's top court means the man who killed six people at a Quebec City mosque could get parole after 25 years in prison. CTV's Vanessa Lee reports.
At the Quebec Islamic Cultural Center, where six men were shot dead after evening prayers, disappointment over the Supreme Court's decision.
It doesn't take in consideration the atrocity of the tragedy.
The country's top court ruled gunman Alexandre Bissonnette must be eligible for parole in 25 years. The Crown had originally asked for 150 years, 25 for every life taken. The trial judge handed down a life sentence with no chance of parole before 40 years, a decision overturned by the Quebec Court of Appeal, and the Supreme Court agreed, calling consecutive sentencing unconstitutional, cruel, and degrading. The judgment states, by depriving offenders in advance of any possibility of reintegration into society, the impugned provision shakes the very foundations of Canadian criminal law.
I talked to my client, Mr. Bissonnette, and his family, and they are relieved. Mr. Bissonnette can have some hope now that he can take time to rehabilitate himself.
Bissonnette will be 52 when he becomes eligible for parole.
If a conditional release was granted by the Parole Board of Canada one day, Alexandre Bissonnette would be subject to strict conditions and the surveillance of a parole officer for the rest of his life.
The historic decision reverberates far beyond Bissonnette's case. Any offender in Canada who has received a life sentence with no possibility of parole before 50 years can now apply for that period to be reduced. This includes Justin Burke, who shot and killed three RCMP officers in Moncton and was sentenced to life with no parole for 75 years. And there's also Alec Manassian. He was found guilty of 10 counts of first-degree murder after he deliberately drove a van into pedestrians on a busy Toronto street. His sentencing was delayed pending today's ruling.
Justice Minister David Lametti says he supports a judge's discretion to impose a longer period of parole ineligibility where appropriate, and we'll see if there is a path forward. Vanessa Lee, CTV News, Montreal.
Turning to the final weekend in the battle for your vote.
The main party leader is fanning out ahead of Election Day next Thursday. CTV's Queen's Park reporter Siobhan Morris is live with more. Siobhan.
Well, Nathan, I know some of the major party leaders will be talking about subjects like the opioid crisis, the environment, and stopping Doug Ford. But we talked to some voters who aren't buying what the major party leaders are selling.
Cabbage Town's Choo Choo serves up all the diner classics.
Oh my goodness, I am so excited.
But voters say the menu in this campaign leaves them unsatisfied.
Someone to vote for. Yeah, I really don't think there's anyone. It's not even worth the trip.
None of the parties are really actually like speaking to people to communicate that they understand the gravity of the situation.
In the last provincial election, voter turnout was 58%, the highest it had been since 1999. a trend experts don't expect to be repeated.
My guess is this is a low turnout election. It's been pretty sleepy, not a lot of action. Weather's getting better, and that has real implications in terms of where you do and where you don't focus your resources.
We'll see you all soon. Thank you.
The Liberal leader's been focusing his attention on ridings in and around Toronto, today repeating a commitment to cancel a PC plan to build Highway 413.
We're talking about $2,000 per household across this province. For households here in Mississauga, households across the GTHA who will not get any congestion relief, we will only save mere seconds on daily commutes.
Del Duca has pledged to spend the highway money on education instead. NDP leader Andrea Horvath spent much of her day thanking frontline workers.
We have seen the work that you have done for many, many years before the pandemic hit.
And promising greater respect for people in education and health care.
Making sure we have good faith bargaining when it comes to working with you to fix the things that are broken in Ontario.
In Oakville, Doug Ford trumpeted a seventh endorsement by a construction union.
Each of these organizations knows what it takes to build.
The PC leader didn't directly answer a question about whether he'd renew rules capping increases to public sector wages.
Well, as these contracts lapse, I think one's coming up in August. I can tell you right now, we'll sit down, negotiate fairly, and I support our frontline workers.
For Mike Schreiner, this final weekend is about convincing voters in key ridings that a Green MPP can make a difference.
And provide the leadership we need to deliver new solutions to so many of the old problems that the status quo parties have failed to solve.
Former federal leader Elizabeth May joined the campaign in Parry Sound, Muskoka, where the Greens are hoping for a breakthrough second seat.
Now, tomorrow is the last day of advance voting. Those polls are open from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Elections Ontario will tell us just how many people made use of those early voting stations on Monday. Reporting live, I'm Siobhan Morris. Nathan, back to you.
All right, thank you, Siobhan. And you can find everything you need to know in the lead-up to Election Day on our website, from the platforms to our Ballot Box podcast. That's all at ctvnews.ca/Ontario election.
Parking lots, intersections, and residential streets. It seems like nowhere is off limits when it comes to the growing problem of carjackings in the GTA.
Tonight, it's an area of Brampton that's on edge after some violent moments late last night. CTV's Andrew Brennan is live with more. Andrew.
Well, Nathan, Michelle, when I spoke to residents in this neighborhood, they were surprised to hear this would happen here. It's getting closer and closer, this problem, almost to their backyards, in this case, their front driveways. But they're saying that they are trying to rally together. And also, most were asking, how is the family doing?
It's a calm and tranquil day after a night that turned terrifying in an instant. Peel police say two people stole a Honda CR-V from a driveway on this Brampton street, taking it from the owner at gunpoint. No one was injured.
It's been happening everywhere.
But now it's happening on his street. Mohamed Ganya says he is looking at installing trackers in his cars. A few doors down, Shawnee Borian saw a line of police cars as she left to run an errand, so she called her husband and her kids.
This is a very quiet street. I've been here since, I think, 2008. It's very quiet, and that's what I love about it.
The victim did not want to be on camera, but confirmed he and his brother did not know their assailants. His nephew says his uncles were followed home, and the SUV was taken at gunpoint.
They're much more brazen now.
Former police detective Mark Mendelson says the tactics are escalating, from targeting parking lots to stopping traffic to carjackings in people's driveways.
Well, statistically, the numbers are through the roof, and they've been growing ever since COVID really raised its ugly head.
Scarborough saw four carjackings within 2 hours Wednesday night.
They're gonna run.
The same night, York Regional Police hunted down two alleged thieves of a Mercedes.
Okay, they got the guy.
York will now head a task force on carjackings that will include other regional police forces such as Toronto, Peel, Durham, as well as the OPP. But while more cars are being stolen, Borian and her husband say they won't be fazed.
This is a safe neighborhood, and just trust that, you know, we have our backs in this neighborhood, and we can continue to keep it safe.
And for a family targeted seemingly at random to move on in time.
Now, speaking with members of the family, there are two young children that do live in the home. Both were not there for this incident. It was pretty harrowing for those that are outside, but already three generations are rallying together and speaking with other neighbors here, Michelle and Nathan, just hearing from them, they think that this is probably not likely going to happen again, but they're going to be on guard, and it's happening more and more anyway, so they have to be careful.
Our Andrew Brennan reporting. Overseas, Ukraine is calling for a new injection of foreign weapons as Russia unleashes relentless attacks in the eastern part of the country.
Without artillery, without multiple launch rocket systems, we won't be able to push them back. If you really care for Ukraine, if you want Ukraine to deoccupy its territories, send us multiple launch rocket systems as soon as possible.
The fighting in the Donbass region focused today on two key cities. International observers are concerned the Russian assault could echo the devastating siege of Mariupol. More than 20,000 civilians are feared dead there.
The World Health Organization says monkeypox can be contained if action is taken now.
We are trying to raise the awareness because we are at the very, very beginning, and we have a good window of opportunity to stop the transmission now.
The WHO is urging countries to take steps to contain the spread and to share data about their vaccine stockpiles. So far, there are about 300 confirmed or suspected cases in around 20 countries where the virus was not previously circulating. One case has been confirmed in Toronto.
The federal government is spending more than $121 million to help provide safe places for women and children fleeing violence. The funds will go towards building and repairing 430 spaces in shelters and transitional housing. The money comes from a previously announced program in the 2021 budget. Women's Shelters Canada says the funding is a good start, but it's just a drop in the bucket compared to what is needed.
We're less than a week away until Election Day in Ontario, and this is the time when campaigns go into high gear. For more, let's bring in Evan Solomon, the host of CTV's Question Period and Power Play. Evan, will there be bombshells? What are you expecting in the last few days of campaigning?
This has been one of those quiet campaigns, Nathan, where there have been very few bombshells. Doug Ford is coasting ahead, saying nothing. Basically having a peekaboo campaign, do no harm. He's recast himself from 4 years ago as the kind of everyman who knocks on your door and helps you out. And look, Andrea Horvath cannot seem to catch the momentum she caught 4 years ago. She's sagging poll, so she's in third place. And the Liberal Party brand is up, but Stephen Del Duca remains kind of Stephen Del Who. He hasn't really connected. They're fighting it out for second place. So what are we watching for? Will anything stick to Doug Ford? High gas prices didn't stick. Affordability didn't stick. A recent storm didn't stick. Even the gun violence in Texas, that horrible massacre, Nathan, the gun debate hasn't stuck. And it was something that Stephen Del Duca tried to make an issue early in the campaign, saying he'd banned handguns. That also not sticking. So for now, it's Doug Ford on cruise control.
Will we see many media interviews for the candidates, or will they avoid them? What's the strategy there?
If you're Doug Ford, avoid everything that may put you in any kind of trouble. I think he's playing a very safe front-runner's campaign right now. I think if you're Andrea Horvath, the clock's ticking on your political career. Unless she comes up with something, this will be her last campaign. And if you're Stephen Del Duca, it just seems that the Liberals may not be playing for first place. They're trying to play just to rebuild that devastated party, which probably bodes well for the Ford people. So, yeah, the opposition needs something. Look, we've seen great comebacks in the Battle of Alberta in that great series that Edmonton won last night, Nathan, but I don't know if there's any comebacks here.
All right, we'll find out. Thanks, Evan. And a reminder to join Evan on Sunday for CTV's Question Period and weeknights for Power Play on CTV News Channel.
After years of restricted access to everything amid the pandemic, Doors Open Toronto is back, inviting the public in for a weekend of exploration in our own backyard.
And I'm Pat Foran. Coming up, it's Feedback Friday. More people express frustration trying to cancel airline tickets. More music fans are upset. They need a smartphone to get into a concert. And we told you about a man who has almost 1 million kilometers on his van. But some viewers say they can top that. Feedback Friday is just ahead.
Showers and thunderstorms possible this evening, especially in the next little while. Looking ahead to tomorrow, though, not the case. We're looking at temperatures just a touch above seasonal. Lots of sunshine. UV index will be high, but humidity will be low. Pretty good day to be on a patio. I'll have more of your forecast coming up.
We had a lot of reaction to our stories on expensive air conditioner contracts and the trouble some people face trying to get concert tickets if they don't have a smartphone.
It's also shaping up to be a busy travel season this summer, and there are good reasons to consider adding insurance when planning your holidays. Pat Foran joins us with Feedback Friday. Pat.
Nathan and Michelle, summer travel is expected to be extremely busy and expensive, and while it appears it's getting back to normal, trips can still go off track. Whether it's a cruise, a resort, or a flight, there are good reasons to consider travel insurance in case you can't go on your trip.
After staying put for 2 years, many Canadians have been returning to sunny beaches and will be vacationing in Europe this summer. No matter where you're going, the industry is advising you consider adding travel insurance to your trip.
We don't know how things can change.
Nancy wrote, I was flying to Edmonton to visit my sister, but she got COVID. I tried to cancel my flight, but was told no changes allowed and lost my $450 ticket. Angela Ashley signed a contract to buy an air conditioner in 2015. Even after paying about $5,000 in rental fees, she still has to pay another $10,000 to get out of the contract.
We're paying 10 times what it's worth.
Rodriguez said, it's outrageous people are forced to pay $15,000 for a $2,000 air conditioner. These contracts are unfair and should be illegal.
That's our technology.
Bob Cocroft is a fan of Cirque du Soleil and bought tickets to a St. Catharines performance. But after he paid almost $700 for the tickets, there was no option to print them. They're mobile tickets only, and he doesn't own a smartphone.
Without a smartphone, I've lost the ability to get these tickets.
With CTV's help, we got paper tickets for Cocroft, but Roseanne wrote, I purchased tickets to see Pearl Jam. They're mobile tickets only, which forced me to buy a smartphone. All this extra expense just to access tickets.
Starts up every time first day.
Mark Intihar has a 2000 Toyota Sienna van that recently had its odometer click over to 930,000 kilometers.
Bam! Love it.
Intihar credits regular maintenance, especially oil changes, and hopes the van will hit 1 million kilometers.
If it goes to 1 million smooth, I'm going to keep going. We'll see how far she'll go.
Ranj told us, my 1999 Honda Civic just retired at almost 1.3 million kilometers. Kelly said, my brother put over 1 million kilometers on his Ford pickup truck.
And other viewers with Toyotas and Hondas said their vehicles passed 1 million kilometers, but so did owners of Dodge and Chevy pickup trucks, as well as Volkswagen owners who said their cars also hit the 1 million mark. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
Toronto Pearson Airport is warning travelers and Mississauga residents about a training exercise happening this weekend. It may not affect flights, but there could be other impacts of the surrounding area. Our online team has all the details on what you can expect to see. That's on our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca.
If you haven't got plans this weekend just yet, you could check out the return of Doors Open Toronto. The event takes place across the city both tomorrow and Sunday. Doors Open lets residents get special access to more than 100 sites in Toronto, including parts of City Hall, museums, cultural centers, archives, and much more. A full list of locations welcoming visitors is available at toronto.ca/opendoors.
That's such a great event, isn't it?
There's so many places you don't even realize are in your own backyard, which is great. And the weather is going to cooperate, which is wonderful. We just got to get through maybe, you know, the rain impacting our plans tonight.
Right. We have some showers and storms expected in the GTA this evening, already affecting parts of the area. And as we look ahead to tomorrow, though, a great weekend to be outside, really great Saturday and Sunday, because we've got sunshine, we've got seasonal temperatures, and we've got low humidity, at least for tomorrow as well. Weather is brought to you by Trane, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a Trane. All right, temperatures right now, well, we're really where we thought we would be for this time of day, or this day, I should say. 22 degrees, feeling like 27, so a bit of humidity today, like yesterday, a little bit less today. We got up to 23 at Pearson, so we've just gone down 1 degree, 14 degrees through the overnight. So in the next little while, no warnings and watches in place at this time. The volatility certainly doesn't look like we're getting severe storms in the GTA, but I'll show you in a moment the line of storms that is moving in on the area. But by the time we get to tomorrow, it's going to be like this, 23. It's actually going to feel a little bit cooler thanks to some winds out of the northwest and just really low humidity tomorrow. So we're going to be quite comfortable. If you're not the person that likes humidity, tomorrow is the day for you. However, I should let you know that UV indexes will be quite high, except for around eastern Ontario, the Ottawa region, where we're hanging on to a little bit more cloud cover, but eights or nines on the UV indexes around the region. So here we go for satellite and radar imagery. You can see this line of storms. We were expecting this right at this time today, and here we go. We've seen those sort of bubble up London, Woodstock, extending north of Hamilton over into the GTA here, and in a line east of Toronto, heading northeast up towards Bancroft. So you could get some heavier downpours in these. We could see somewhere around 10 millimeters of rain, but they will clear out. This twist of low pressure sort of moving to the south of us and off to the east, and I'll show you sort of how that sort of plays out in the next little while. Here's the clearing for tomorrow, though, and I think this is what everyone will be looking forward to. Forecast radar shows we're hanging onto this for the next little while. By the time we get to 9, 10 o'clock, we get some nice clearing. Slight chance of some showers, though, after midnight. 10 in the morning, here we go. We've got the sunshine for the most part, except for southwestern Ontario and eastern Ontario. A little bit of cloud cover through the overnight period, not much to worry about. Flow of air changes on Sunday, so you're probably going to feel a little bit of humidity creeping in as we get into Sunday, but 23 both days, comfortable through the overnight. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, temperatures getting in and around the 30 mark, if not above. It's going to feel in the upper 30s on Tuesday, so something to prepare for. Stay with us here on CTV News Toronto. More news and weather after the break.
It's a decision generating plenty of reaction. The Supreme Court of Canada striking down a provision which meant multiple murderers might have to wait 50 years or more to apply for parole.
And for people in this city, it is a ruling being watched very closely. CTV's Beth McDonnell joins us live to explain. Beth.
Michelle, the Supreme Court's decision on consecutive sentences is upsetting for one Toronto van attack victim I spoke with today. Alec Manassian is scheduled to be sentenced June 13th. She's worried what it means for victims and their families.
We're abandoned. We mean nothing in this system.
Van attack survivor Kathy Riddell was hit from behind on April 23rd, 2018. She suffered a head injury, fractured spine, shattered pelvis, and is still recovering. Learning the Supreme Court's ruling that imposing consecutive periods of parole ineligibility in cases of multiple first-degree murders is unconstitutional, another blow.
What I don't understand is how there's no heart in the justice system, that people can suffer tremendous loss and tremendous pain, and it really doesn't seem to mean anything.
Alec Manassian was found guilty of 10 counts of first-degree murder and 16 counts of attempted murder. Justice Anne Molloy, who ruled on the case, has been waiting on the High Court's decision. This legal analyst believes Manassian's sentencing is now a fait accompli, that he will be eligible for parole after 25 years served. He says from a legal point, the court is saying it's not going to enter a debate on morality, whether each life is worth an extra 25 years.
It's cruel and unusual punishment to not provide a killer, a serial rapist, to not provide that offender with the ability, even the faint hope, the glimmer, a ray of light, that they can rehabilitate themselves and apply for parole.
But he says while Manassian will be eligible for parole after 25 years served, the sentence is still life. Riddell will be in her 90s by that time. She worries about the possibility Manassian could get parole one day, as others who have committed heinous crimes have received it before.
He could go out and murder 100 people and get one 25-year sentence for it. Like, does that seem right? It may be according to the book, but does it seem right? Is it moral? Is it ethical? I don't think it is.
For Riddell, the court's decision being unanimous also stings.
They need to get down to earth and see what the real people are feeling. It's cruel and unusual punishment to murder people.
Riddell wants to see a compromise which would allow the court to determine ineligibility for parole based on the severity of the crimes. She believes if the justices had sat with her during the opening statements of the Manassian trial and heard the horrific details, they may think differently. Riddell says she'll be at the sentencing, but after that, she's ready to move on. Reporting live, I'm Beth McDonnell. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Beth.
Thank you, Beth. The world has been watching as Johnny Depp and Amber Heard went head-to-head in a Virginia courtroom as part of a heated libel lawsuit.
Now the matter is in the hands of the jury. Lawyers for both sides laid out their closing arguments today in a trial that saw Depp and Heard accuse each other of physical abuse during their relationship and marriage. In this specific case, Depp sued Heard for $50 million U.S. The suit claims a 2018 article claiming she was the victim of domestic abuse defamed the Pirates of the Caribbean star. Heard countersued for $100 million. It's now up to the seven jurors to decide how to handle those claims and who to believe.
All four members of ABBA walked the red carpet last night at the debut of their high-tech concert show.
It's so nice to see all the faces and all the expectations and everything. It goes right into your heart.
Alongside several other celebrities and members of pop music royalty, the King of Sweden attended last night's VIP premiere. ABBA Voyage features holograms of the band performing some of their greatest hits. The concerts are taking place in London before an eventual world tour.
It looks like the new Top Gun sequel had a strong liftoff at movie theaters last night.
Good morning, aviators. This is your captain speaking.
The Tom Cruise film brought in more than $180 million in Thursday night previews across North America. Deadline reports that puts Top Gun Maverick on course to easily win the weekend box office. It may also set a record for Memorial Day weekend ticket sales south of the border. It was an epic series, one that will be talked about for years in Alberta and beyond.
The Edmonton Oilers are moving on to the Western Conference Final after a hard-fought victory over their provincial rival.
5 minutes into overtime in Game 5, and McDavid scores! Game winner! Series winner for Connor!
Connor McDavid's overtime goal last night clinched the first postseason series win against Calgary in 31 years. The last time the Oilers made it to the third round was 16 years ago. They now await the winner of the Avalanche Blues series. Colorado leads that one 3-2 with Game 6 tonight in St. Louis.
Meanwhile, two Canadians are advancing to the fourth round at the French Open. Leila Fernandez outlasted Olympic gold medalist Belinda Bencic of Switzerland today. It's the first time the 19-year-old has gotten past the third round at Roland Garros. She faces American Amanda Anisimova next.
Felix Auger-Aliassime is also moving on to the fourth round. He had 16 aces en route to a victory over Serbia's Filip Krajinovic. The 21-year-old takes on fifth seed Rafael Nadal next. Auger-Aliassime is coached by Nadal's uncle and former coach.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Man's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
When the lockdown happened, I was feeling scared.
Updating our top stories, police and support staff were on hand today at William Davis Jr. Public School, a day after a man holding what was later determined to be a pellet gun was shot dead outside by officers. Investigators say the weapon, which witnesses said looked like a rifle, turned out to be a BB gun.
A 21-year-old man is under arrest tonight after an alleged hate-motivated incident at a Jewish school in North York. The suspect is accused of making anti-Semitic comments to students at Yeshiva Gedola near Bathurst and Lawrence, and then threatening and assaulting a staff member. Kyle MacLeod faces several charges, including assault with a weapon.
We have our backs in this neighborhood, and we can continue to keep it safe.
And more concerns about violent car thefts in the GTA, this time in Brampton, as Peel police say a Honda CR-V was taken from a driveway at gunpoint last night. York Regional Police are launching a new regional task force with other services to tackle the surge in carjackings.
On the markets, the Canadian dollar was up about 0.33 to close at $78.60 U.S. American benchmark oil gained almost $1 a barrel to close at $115.07. And the TSX Composite Index was up just over 216 points to end the day at 20,748.
Inflation and interest rates are both on the way up, and a new survey for BNM Bloomberg and Rates.ca shows homeowners are feeling the squeeze. While rising costs impact everyone, the Léger survey asked homeowners how much they could afford in new monthly costs. 74% said they could manage an increase of $100 to $200, but fewer than half say they can afford up to $500 more in spending. 50% of homeowners who say they're concerned about their finances purchased their property during the pandemic.
Oh, how time flies. It's the final weekend of the Ontario election campaign.
And that's the focus of a discussion on CP24 tonight. We're joined by Scott Hurst. Scott, you're taking a closer look at the party strategies.
Well, Nathan and Michelle, happy Friday. And here we are, the final stretch, if you can believe it. So we take a different approach with our political panel tonight. We'll have them reacting to some recent campaign ads from the four main parties. Also, we'll break down strategy heading into the last weekend and a new report card on how the parties fare in terms of LGBTQ issues, including one party getting an F. All that and more coming up on CP24 tonight.
Thank you, Scott. Look forward to it. And CP24 tonight airs immediately following this newscast on CP24 starting at 7.
Tonight, missed opportunities in the Texas school shooting.
Of course it was not the right decision. It was the wrong decision.
Police admit to a stunning string of failures in their initial response. That story and more later on CTV National News.
And a reminder, the CTV News at 6 podcast is available as a download every weeknight. You can also listen to the show live on News Talk 1010.
Toronto is one of the most vibrant, diverse, and interesting cities on the planet. We're a world leader in many areas like business, finance, technology, entertainment, and culture.
Each week, Things to Know TO shines a spotlight on a wide variety of local businesses, services, events, and initiatives from across the GTA that are working to make our city even greater.
And one of the world's best places to live, work, and play. Join us Saturday mornings for Things to Know TO.
Millions of people in Sydney, Australia, awoke in a bit of a fog today. A lot of fog, actually. Skyscrapers poked through as a thick blanket draped the country's largest city. But iconic landmarks like the Sydney Opera House were completely blocked from view. Drivers were actually warned to stay off the roads and ferry services were halted for a time. There were also some flight cancellations before the fog began to lift by late morning. And then it gave way to beautiful blue skies and sunshine.
Hopefully we get blue skies this weekend, Michelle.
Oh, we do have that on the way. But before we get there, we have some showers and storms to get through this evening. You can see this line of storms sort of leaning in towards the 401 corridor. It's traveling just to the north of Toronto right now from west to east. So expect showers and the potential of some isolated heavier downpours in thunderstorms in the next few hours. Showers should wrap up after midnight. 22 in Toronto right now, feeling like 27. Looking ahead to the weekend, it's a good one. 23 both days, sun cloud mix, low humidity tomorrow. UV index will be high. And then as we get into next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that temperature really gets up there. Humidex values should be in the upper 30s on Tuesday. So keep that in mind. It's going to be a little bit on the hot and humid side next week. Temperatures start to moderate after that. And remember, tonight's Lotto Max jackpot is an estimated $70 million plus 28 max millions. Back to you.
Thanks, Michelle. And be sure to join Pauline Chan later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
In the meantime, you can stay up to date by going to our website and watch breaking news all day long on CP24.
For Michelle Jobin and all of us here at CTV News, have a great night.
Good night.